Imagine building a digital vault with 30-foot-thick steel walls, state-of-the-art retinal scanners, and armed guards.
Right, the absolute highest level of security you can think of.
Exactly. You put your most dangerous, valuable asset inside, and then, I mean, a month later, the vault is just completely emptied. And the thieves didn't blast through the steel or even hack the retinal scanner. They just stole the master key from the third-party HVAC repair guy who services the building's air conditioning.
That is always the weak link, isn't it? The human element.
It really is. Today, we are looking at how the artificial intelligence arms race is fundamentally breaking the tech industry as we know it. Welcome to today's deep dive.
It's great to be here. We have a lot to get through today.
We really do. We have a massive stack of tech briefings from a comprehensive April 26, 2026 tech newsletter. And our mission today is to cut through the noise of standard product updates to show you a massive tectonic shift happening right beneath our feet.
Yeah, it is a profound realignment. We are seeing a complete rewriting of the rules across software, hardware, and corporate strategy, and it is touching absolutely everything you interact with on a daily basis.
We have a pretty wild journey for you today. We're starting with how big tech is basically burning down their legacy departments and firing thousands of people just to fund their AI
Which
ambitions.
is brutal to watch.
Totally brutal. And from there, we will look at how those same AI tools are already being weaponized in some genuinely terrifying ways, including that digital vault heist I just
Like
mentioned.
the Anthropic situation.
Exactly. Then we are diving into a historic era-ending leadership shakeup over at Apple. And finally, we will look at how wild new physical hardware innovations from Samsung and Nintendo are changing the consumer landscape and coming directly for your wallet.
It's the friction between software that is eating the world and physical hardware that is desperately trying to adapt to handle the load.
Well said. So let's start with the human cost of the AI pivot, because before we look at the tech of the future, we have to look at the people building it, or, well, the people losing their jobs over it.
Yeah, the sheer scale of capital this new era requires is staggering.
It is. So Meta has just announced they are laying off 8,000 employees. That is 10% of their entire workforce.
10%. Just gone in a day.
Right. And on top of that, they are cutting 6,000 open roles. So we are looking at 14,000 jobs effectively wiped off the board in a single morning.
Okay, let's unpack this. Why are they doing this?
Well, to understand the magnitude of this, you have to look at the internal memo, which makes the motivation incredibly clear. This is not about a company struggling to keep the lights on.
No, not all.
Right, this is about freeing up capital for a staggering $135 billion investment in AI infrastructure.
$135 billion. I mean, that number is hard to even wrap your head around. It's larger than the GDP of dozens of countries. It really is. And it
Yeah.
feels like big tech is burning down their legacy houses just to afford the fuel for an AI spaceship.
That is a perfect way to put it. And look at exactly who is getting hit the hardest in these cuts. Reality Labs, the division that was supposed to build the metaverse, VR and AR, is taking 35% of these cuts.
Which was Mark Zuckerberg's passion project just a few years ago.
Exactly. And Meta is not alone in this either. Microsoft is simultaneously offering a voluntary early retirement package to 8,750 employees. So I have to ask, is the era of rapid growth and overhiring officially dead?
I think we are witnessing the end of the software craftsman era and the beginning of the AI manager era. This isn't just a cyclical downturn where companies trim the fat.
You think it's more permanent?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you look at the pattern across the industry, this is a fundamental structural shift. For the last 15 years, the prevailing logic was that if you wanted to build a massive new product, you needed an army of 10,000 engineers.
Right, the classic Silicon Valley hiring spree.
Exactly. But today, companies are realizing that to win the AI era, you don't need human armies. You need massive computing power, literal football fields of data centers, and a highly specialized, much smaller core team of machine learning experts to direct the models.
You can really see the cultural whiplash if you look at the employee reactions on the Blind app, where tech workers post anonymously.
Oh, the reactions there are
They
brutal.
are. You have engineers who have been at Meta for 8 years getting an email at 6 a.m. saying their key card is deactivated. They are pointing out the bitter irony here. Management claims they need to tighten their belts, but they magically have $135 billion to buy NVIDIA chips.
And train algorithms.
Right. The employees are heavily criticizing this pivot away from the old Silicon Valley culture of, you know, nap pods and caring about employees toward this ruthless, pure shareholder value model. And just to be clear for the listener, we aren't taking sides here, but it's important to report how the workforce is reacting to this massive shift.
It is brutal, but from the boardroom's perspective, the underlying logic is survival. AI is viewed as an existential, winner-take-all race.
So it's adapt or die for them.
Exactly. If Meta or Microsoft loses this race, their core search and social products could become entirely obsolete within 5 years. They are willing to amputate limbs to save the core organism.
Wow. So the takeaway for you, the listener, is pretty stark. If you work in tech, the writing is on the wall. Traditional operational roles are vulnerable, and pivoting to AI and machine learning skills is no longer optional. It's survival.
It's the fundamental literacy required to be employed now.
Right. So these tech titans are literally sacrificing their human workforce to afford the compute power to build these massive digital brains. But here's where it gets really interesting. What happens when you build an ultra-powerful AI and someone just walks off with it?
That is the nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as of April 8th, it is no longer hypothetical.
Yeah, let's talk about the dark side of the AI boom. Let's talk about Anthropic. On April 7th, 2026, they announced a new model called the Mythos Preview.
And we should clarify, this is not a helpful chatbot designed to summarize your meeting notes.
No, not at all. Mythos is a highly restricted, offensive cybersecurity AI. It is specifically built to scan millions of lines of software code, hunt for unknown zero-day vulnerabilities, and then automatically write the exploit codes to hack them.
Right. And for anyone unfamiliar with the term, a zero-day vulnerability is a flaw in a piece of software that the software's creator doesn't even know exists yet.
Meaning they have had 0 days to fix it.
Exactly. Usually, finding a zero-day takes months of painstaking work by elite human hackers. Mythos automates that entire process.
Which is terrifying. It was deemed so dangerous that Anthropic restricted access to only 52 select organizations globally. It's like keeping a master lockpicker locked in a vault.
But the thieves didn't break the vault door, did they?
No, they didn't. Literally one single day after Anthropic announced it, Mythos was hacked. The thieves just stole the contractor's key. They went through the supply chain.
It's always the supply chain.
Always. The hackers stole the login credentials of a random third-party contractor. Then they combined that with URL inference data they found from a totally separate data breach at a company called Merkur.
Which is a brilliant and terrifying combination of tactics.
Hold on. Pause for a second. URL inference. I know what a URL is. It's just a web address. But how do you infer a hack?
Well, think of it like figuring out a company's internal naming convention. If you know that a company always formats its private server addresses as, say, secureprojectname-2026.com.
Oh, I see. You just guessed the pattern.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't need to steal a map to find their hidden servers. You just guessed the URL pattern for the new project.
Mm-hmm.
The hackers used the leaked data from Merkur to understand Anthropic's internal structures.
So they guessed the exact web address where the Mythos model was housed and then used that stolen contractor's key to walk right past the security checkpoints.
That's exactly how it happened.
But wait, I have to push back here. Is it even possible to secure these ultra-powerful models if a random third-party contractor is the weak link? Why are security experts blaming Anthropic's architecture?
What's fascinating here is that limiting access to 52 organizations was a traditional defense for a completely non-traditional threat.
Meaning they assumed a secure perimeter would hold.
Right, but the perimeter is an illusion when you have a sprawling global supply chain of vendors, data labelers, and contractors. This is why there is a desperate push right now for a zero-trust architecture.
Zero trust. What does that look like in practice?
It means the system doesn't inherently trust anyone, even if they have the correct password. It constantly verifies your behavior. It checks if your mouse movements are human, if your IP address suddenly jumped from California to Eastern Europe, you know, looking for anomalies.
One of the stakes for getting this right couldn't be higher. IBM Security just reported a 44% year-over-year increase in AI cyber attacks.
Yeah, including that massive $45 million deepfake voice heist on European banks back in January.
Exactly. Hackers aren't manually typing code anymore. So for you listening, cybersecurity is no longer just the IT department's problem. You are the target. You must use multi-factor authentication, maintain a zero-trust mindset, and be hyper-vigilant against AI-generated phishing.
Because as software and AI become exponentially more complex and dangerous, companies are realizing that ultimate control and security lie in the physical hardware.
Which perfectly explains the historic earthquake we are seeing over at Apple. The hardware architect is taking the throne.
It is a massive shift for the company.
It really is. After 15 years at the helm, Tim Cook is stepping down as Apple CEO on September 1st, 2026, transitioning to executive chairman.
And we have to respect the run this guy had.
Oh, absolutely. Cook grew Apple to a $4 trillion market cap. He oversaw 1,000% stock growth. He launched the Apple Watch, AirPods, Vision Pro, all of it.
But his core genius was always in operations and logistics.
Right. Tim Cook was the ultimate supply chain and logistics guru. But look at his successor. The new CEO is John Ternus. He is the 49-year-old chief of hardware engineering who led the massive Apple Silicon transition.
Swapping Cook for Ternus is like swapping a master logistician for a master builder.
That's exactly it. So does this mean Apple's entire future strategy relies on building proprietary AI chips to tightly control their ecosystem?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Ternus represents deep hardware-software integration. To dominate the AI era, Apple needs a leader who intrinsically understands how to build the silicon that powers the AI.
Break that down for me, though. Why does an AI program care about the physical chip it's running on?
Well, traditional CPUs execute general instructions sequentially. But AI models require matrix multiplication, basically doing thousands of probability calculations simultaneously.
Okay, so a standard chip just bottlenecks.
Exactly. That requires a neural engine. Plus, running these on a phone generates immense heat. Ternus understands thermal management and power efficiency at a granular level.
Got it. So if you're an Apple consumer or investor listening, pay close attention to Ternus's first roadmap announcements. Expect aggressive innovation in proprietary AI hardware and chips.
Yeah.
They're baking the AI directly into the metal.
And Apple isn't the only giant pushing hardware to its absolute limits.
No, they are not. Over at Samsung, they are physically changing the shape of the smartphone. They are pushing hardware to the physical limit.
The Galaxy Z Roll.
Yes. Samsung is launching the Galaxy Z Roll in the second half of 2026 for a massive $2,799.
This is quite the price tag.
It is eye-watering, but here is the hook. It features a 12.4-inch dynamic AMOLED screen that rolls out horizontally, completely eliminating the infamous crease problem of traditional foldables.
Which has been the holy grail for display technology for years.
Right. And to do this, it uses a motorized rack and pinion system that opens the phone in 2.3 seconds. Samsung claims it can withstand 200,000 uses.
So about 5 years of heavy use.
Exactly. So what does this all mean? It's like having a high-tech miniature car steering column hidden in your pocket. That's what a rack and pinion is.
It is. It translates rotational motion into linear motion. It's an engineering marvel.
But I have to ask about that price. Is $2,800 too steep for consumers, or is this just the inevitable necessary death of the foldable crease?
You have to contextualize Samsung's strategy here. Holding 62% of the market, Samsung is trying to preempt Apple's rumored 2027 iPhone Fold.
So it's a defensive move, too.
And they want to stay ahead of Chinese competitors like Huawei and Oppo. It's a massive flex of engineering dominance. It's a halo product.
A statement piece. So the listener takeaway here is clear. If you're in the market for a foldable device, you might want to wait. The Z Roll could set a new gold standard, and its release will likely drive down the prices of current foldable models.
Definitely. But it also highlights the consumer cost of next-gen infrastructure. Samsung passes the cost of hardware innovation directly to the buyer via high price tag.
But in other industries, that cost is hidden. Which brings us to the gaming world, where we are seeing the cost of new hardware infrastructure show up as a hidden, recurring tax.
The Nintendo situation.
Yeah, this is getting a lot of backlash. Final Fantasy XIV is coming to the Nintendo Switch 2 in August 2026.
Which is a huge technical achievement for that console.
It is. However, players will have to pay a separate $6.99 monthly subscription just for the Switch, on top of the standard $12.99 base subscription.
So you're looking at nearly $20 a month for one game.
Right. Though current users get a 50% discount, it's still an extra fee. Producer Naoki Yoshida explained this is due to Nintendo's separate server infrastructure costs and their required cut of the revenue.
Which makes sense from a business standpoint.
Maybe, but if you look at the Reddit polls, the community is deeply divided, with many calling it a Nintendo tax. And I have to push back hard on this tax.
Well, I figured you might.
It's like buying a monthly pass to a theme park, but having to pay an extra fee just because you walked through the Nintendo gate instead of the PlayStation gate.
Yeah.
Does this set a dangerous precedent for the future of console MMOs?
This raises an important question about closed ecosystems. Nintendo builds bespoke hardware and infrastructure. Maintaining those specialized servers requires dedicated engineering.
So they pass the cost to the player.
Exactly. As games become more massive and cross-platform, the friction between publisher and platform holder is being passed straight to the consumer's wallet.
It's frustrating. So for you listening, be highly aware of hidden recurring costs as hardware platforms become more sophisticated. Jump into the July beta if you want to test the waters before committing to the extra fees.
Absolutely. The cost of the future is not going to be cheap.
No, it is not. Well, we've covered some serious ground today. We've gone from Meta's human sacrifices for an AI future to the terrifying reality of Anthropic's hacked cybersecurity AI.
And the hardware revolution.
Yeah. Right. Apple crowning a hardware king, Samsung rolling out creaseless screens, and Nintendo charging a toll to play in their ecosystem. Before we wrap up, do you have a final thought for the listener?
I do. Think about this. If AI models like Mythos can instantly find and exploit vulnerabilities in code, and our physical hardware is becoming wildly complex, from motorized rolling screens to bespoke global server networks.
Yeah.
How long until AI isn't just hacking our software, but is fundamentally designing, testing, and controlling the physical hardware we rely on every single day?
Wow. Now that is something to mull over. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. Stay curious, stay secure, and keep questioning the world around you. We'll catch you next time.